pushed everything out.
Yes.
Say it one more time. God pushed everything out.
Amen.
He cleared everything.
Amen.
He said basically by his actions, you want to be here? You want to be here? Here I am.
Yeah,
all right.
Here I am.
And when he showed up, everybody hit their face on the ground.
Hallelujah.
See, some people think this is about the temple. No. This ain't about the temple. This is about a nation that needed to rediscover their God. Stay with me. Because this thing has switched a little bit. I promise I'll get to the points, but hear me. The things that God was doing at this moment was to give his people a different encounter with him than they've had in a long, long time. It's one thing to know God based on a past experience.
Yes.
It's one thing to know that when you only got a dime in your pocket, that God is a provider. But it's a whole other thing to know God as a healer when you're sick. Can we talk for a second? It's one thing to know God as being a protector when you should have died in that accident. But it's a whole other thing when you know you are not qualified for the job you applied for and he provided. Okay, I get it. We've come to the place where everybody don't shout, but every once in a while you didn't shout on the right stuff. It's one thing to know God as the one that'll keep you when you're single. It's another thing to know God when your marriage is struggling and he still holds everything together. And the only way you can know that is when God shows up in your life in a way you have never seen him show up before. And you can't know that fooling around with the same old flame. You can't go around giving God the same old stuff and think he gonna come through the same old way. No. Hear it. Solomon prayed something that had not been prayed before. For a whole, like half of a chapter, he prayed something that had not been prayed in the nation. So God heard something fresh. He saw his people doing something different. Not going through the motions. Saying, we got to prepare this space for God to show up. And the only way we can do it is by saying, God, we have come. Not on our lunch break. Not for 5 minutes. But we have come to give you what you deserve. And that if you receive it, we know we'll be changed. So when the fire came, what happened? The people went into instantaneous praise and worship.
Yes.
The text says his fire came down, consumed the offering. His presence filled the place where nobody could even get in, so that God's presence was the focal point and not even the temple that was built for him. Which lets me know that when we do what we got to do for the Lord, God will show himself in such a way that he is still the reason that we do what we do. So when I come to church on Sunday morning, I don't come for you. I don't even come to hear myself. I can hear myself and all this past stuff if I want to listen to my own voice. but I come because of the God that I serve. And when I think about all that God has done for me, why would I come just for the simple, superficial, normal stuff of life? I don't come to church just to have church. I come because I want to see God at work in my life. So it requires some fresh oil so you can see what fresh fire can do. The prayer was fresh oil. But watch what fresh fire did to that oil. Here are the points and I'm done. What does fresh fire affect? What does it affect? First thing it affects is our worship.
Yes. Yes.
It affects our worship. Hear me. They saw God move. And they did not ask the question, was that in the order of how this was supposed to go? Did you see that? Because I ain't read that. When God showed up, nobody asked if this was the moment that God was supposed to show up. This is what they did. Hear what they did. They stopped what they were doing. They stopped looking for God and recognized that God was there. And when they recognized that God was there, their worship went into overdrive. They did not try, watch this, they did not try to resist his presence by going into the space. No, God occupied the space so that the people would know that if you're going to come here, you're not coming here to worship a thing that was built. You are here to worship me. And how can you not worship a God that will show up instantaneously when you pray? Okay, I already said it's on Saturday. I am not liable for the next stuff that's about to come out of my mouth and what I'm about to do. Listen, how can you not worship a God that will show up for you when you ask? God, hear me when I call. Not because I deserve it, but because, God, I'm seeking you because you're all I got. And because you're all I got, I just need a word from you. I just need one move from you. I just need one thing from you. And that's that you're present with me in my trouble, when I'm on top, when I'm under, when I'm going through hell and high water. I just need you. And when he shows up, why would you sit back? I don't know about all that. You did all that crying for God to move, and when God moves and dries your tears, provides your needs, and all that kind of stuff, you want to act like he didn't do it? The instantaneous move of God was they bow down. When they saw him show up, they bow down with their faces to the ground. Their worship was instantly impacted. The second thing that was impacted was their sacrifice. The consumption of the sacrifice is a response. I'm willing to give what I have, not because I just have it, but because I know that when I give it in faith and from a place sacrifice and a place, watch this, is only truly a sacrifice when you do not attach selfishness to it. You know how people do you sometimes? They'll give you the 20. And they'll even let the 20 go. But don't let your season come when you finally came up. They will remind you and the rest of the world that you gave them the 20 that got you all the way up. That's selfish. I said it. Take it. If it hurts, say ouch, whatever. A sacrifice is truly sacrificial when your ego and your personal stuff ain't attached to it, and you're trusting God to respond to it and see that it was given with genuine faith and trust. So God's response was, Solomon, people, I heard you, I see you, and guess what? I receive what you've given. And in receiving what was given, God did not just make an appearance. God literally overshadowed and entered the space. Now, teaching moment. Remember when Moses went up to the mountain and he was getting what he needed? He was communing with God. Moses asked if he could see God. And God said, nobody can see me face to face and live. But guess what I'll do? I'm going to run by you. You stay by that rock. I'm going to run by you. And I'm going to let you see my back. Right? So he got to experience God in a way that he never experienced it before. And when he came down from the mountain, his countenance was different. God granted something to Moses that he didn't grant to everybody. Solomon prayed, and God granted the people something they hadn't experienced. He actually came and sat down among them. God left his throne that's too high for us to reach and came down to a house that couldn't contain him. And decided that he was going to hang out a while and say, I'm here. I'm trying to give you a foreshadowing of New Testament stuff, because a lot of people want to go to the New Testament and talk about the Holy Ghost. And that's good, because that's still God. But watch this. Before he sent the Holy Ghost to enter into the believer, he decided, because he saw the genuine nature of his people, he decided to take himself. And say, I'm going to respond to your sacrifice, and because of it, I'm going to sit with you. Don't think for one second that the things that you offer unto God are not going to be responded to in magnificent and powerful ways. Just because you're going through something right now does not mean that God is not moving in your life. And it does not mean that God is not present. And it does not mean that God will not show up. When God shows up, that's why I was crying earlier. Because when all this stuff happened weeks ago, it wasn't even that long ago, a couple weeks ago, all of a sudden this thing got real. And then I'm looking around saying, God, what are you doing? Can I talk for myself? If you ain't gonna shout, I'm gonna shout. I've been praying for God to do something. I didn't know how he was going to do it. Didn't know what he was going to do. But I said, God, I've learned to be content where I am. So if this is how it's got to be, I'm going to serve you from this spot. I'm going to keep on going to work 9 to 5. I'm going to keep on doing what I got to do. And I'm going to do my best where you planted me. But God showed up. Hallelujah. 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 saw the sacrifice, he received it by saying, I see you. Some of y'all need to have an I see you praise. Because sometimes you need to look back over the moments when God saw you. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about. God saw you in some stuff and you are not the same. God saw you in some situations and you were just doing the best you could. You wanted to get out, couldn't get out, didn't know how you were going to get out, didn't know where it was going to happen, how it was going to happen, but you kept on praying. You kept on praising. You kept on showing up. You kept on giving God glory. You kept on loving your children. You kept on loving your wife and kept on loving your husband. You kept on doing what you needed to do, and all God did was show up and said, I see you. When he received the sacrifice, he was saying, Israel, I see you. Last thing that's affected by fresh fire is our praise. This is going to be probably the shortest point, but I might get too loud, so forgive me. They bowed down and they said, what? They said, when they bowed down and worshiped, they said, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. But that ain't all that happened. I just read those verses to set the table. When you go further, it tells you how much was sacrificed. It tells you how much Solomon by himself put up. And it keeps on bringing up that same phrase a little later. But here's the shouting moment. The dedication of the temple was only supposed to be a week. But things got so good to them, they stayed around another week. That's like having a revival going for 3 days. And it got so good that you had the nerve to look at the preacher and look at the pastor and say, can we just do it 2 more days? And then it goes another 2 days. And you say, you know what? The Holy Ghost has come in such a way. You know what? We just don't want to leave. Can we just keep on going? And then after a while, you stop asking and you just don't leave. They just couldn't leave. They couldn't leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And their praise lasted for 2 weeks. Hallelujah. 2 whole weeks. Businesses weren't open. Nothing, y'all. No, I want you to get the magnitude of this. The whole nation shut down. The government shut down. People that make money every day shut down. Sabbath practices came and went twice because they were shouting for 2 weeks, 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week. They doubled it to 336 hours of shouting. Yes, hallelujah. They gave God praise like they weren't going to see God ever again. They gave God glory like God was going to leave and never come back. They gave God praise for what was on the horizon even before it showed up. They gave God praise for what they could not see. They gave God praise for things that were yet to come. When I praise God, I don't just shout over what he's already done. I shout over what's yet to come. I can't just shout and stay in the same place and just shout about what he has done. I can't just shout about what he is doing. I got to shout about what's on the horizon. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. But He promised that in the process, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never do any harm to me. He'll dry my tears. He'll keep me up. He'll keep me in perfect peace. He'll do it because he promised that he would stand by my side. So why will I not shout unto a God that makes a promise that is sure? He will. I said God will. He'll do it. He'll do it for me. Sure enough, he'll do it for you. Somebody ought to say yes. He'll do it. He'll do it. You cannot continue to expect God to just go through the motions with you. God don't want to do that. God wants greater and better and more for you. So when you pray, let your prayer be fresh oil. Let your prayer be genuine. Yes. Let your prayer be one that covers what you can't handle. And when you give it to him in genuine, heartfelt realness, when you finish your prayer, know that fire will come down from heaven.
Yes.
And it's going to hit your temple for your body. You are the temple. And when it hits the temple, don't even begin to attempt to enter the space. Let God move you out so that he can what? Enter in. And let that fresh fire change.